Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo.
They were born under a bad sign. They are Son of Boogaloo. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am so happy to be here with you. I am your host, Ape-Man Xanadu, and we are talking today about American Psycho 2 as we carry on with Season 6, Son of Boogaloo. I am joined by the usual suspects. I have my good friend, Jim. Jim Cotta, how you doing?
Stan, can you get me some value?
Oh boy. Just let me write you a script for that. And next up, we've got Jack.
What's up, psychos?
Psychos, woo! We're going crazy! There's bodies all over the place. And we got Nick Boxer!
Greetings and salutations. I'll have uppers, please.
Uppers. All right. We'll just fill out the order. We'll submit it.
I like to travel in the opposite direction than the crowd.
Yes. And that's what this movie does. It travels the opposite direction of the crowd. American Psycho 2. This one stars Mila Kunis and Bill Shatner. You know, Canadian treasure Bill Shatner. Love watching a good Shatner movie. So, Nick, why don't you tell everyone all about...
We should have picked something else.
We still haven't done Kingdom of Spiders. How the hell did this happen?
And we broke it up if we were going to... We could have assembled those in a season.
That's right. Oh, man. Well, there's no question. We got some folks headed for sainthood, coming out of this movie. But tell us about American Psycho 2.
All right. I hated the first American Psycho, so I was actually kind of surprised. I like this one. Very, very B-movie tone, where the first one was kind of just slimy arts crap. This one, I thought it started a little bit weird with, the little bit that tacks it on barely to the first film. Mila Kunis is some sort of American psycho / serial killer that is trying to kill her way into a prime spot to get into. She's not actually trying to get into the FBI. She's just trying to get a prime spot to get picked for the FBI. She wants to become Will Shatner's protege, and she must kill everybody in the university that stands in her way. Really, I wish I could say it was more interesting than that, but it really isn't. The twist ending, you see a mile off. Well, you see it a mile off, yet it still makes absolutely no sense.
There's next to nothing in this movie that actually makes sense. And that's what I love. The plot holes are so big that Bill Shatner's ego would fit in them, kind of thing. But that's part of the charm of this movie to me, is the fact that every time I watch it, this is number two, but I had this memory of the movie the first time that I watched it, and I thought, I remember that being kind of funny, kind of silly.
And I have to say, if there was an American Psycho 3, I would have looked it up.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So yeah, after watching this again, I was like, nope, that's exactly how I remembered it. Kind of funny, kind of silly. Once I've forgotten that I've watched it, or like more or less put it out of my mind again, then I will happily watch it again and think probably the same thing.
You know, we try very much on this show to talk positively because we do authentically enjoy these B films, and what's odd to me right now is I don't know whether Nick has broken the rules of that by going out of his way to badmouth a movie we're not reviewing. Like you really had a lot to say about American Psycho 1. A movie we are not talking about.
just a quick vote then. Everybody else, I enjoyed American Psycho. Nick did not. What about you two?
I'm yay.
It's a fine movie. Not a great movie, but a fine movie.
I go with great.
Tonally, it is completely opposite.
Well,
this
sure,
movie,
for sure.
Correct?
It is a strange case that you have to put a movie like American Psycho up against a movie like American Psycho 2, like only on the basis that they are like one is named after the other, because tonally, structurally, artistically, they really have very little in common.
There's virtually.
I think that's since Halloween 2 and Halloween 3 that you had to.
but you know what? That probably had more in common than these ones did. At least that had the storyline was completely different, but the tone still had that Carpenter feel and the soundtrack and everything. This is the reason I think Stan chose this film, right? Stan is you heard about this film. This is a film that like from a distance you're like, oh, this has all the Boogaloo elements. And here's a movie that was not made to be American Psycho 2 that ended up having extra stuff filmed for it to become American Psycho 2, to become a sequel to a film that it had nothing related to. But when you watch it, you realize that it's even less effort put into it than that. Because it's the first scene of the movie that's 2 minutes long that doesn't star the actual star of the film. She just does a voiceover.
Some awesome silhouettes.
Never comes together and never is brought up again in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, virtually, I think there's
virtually for the whole movie.
Reference in the classroom to to Bateman as a killer, and
at the end.
Yeah, and because of the character played by William Shatner is supposed to have been the guy who was looking for him, and he can't figure out why Bateman was killed, and it's Mila Kunis's character is actually the one who killed him, because that's not stupid. And this to me is the exact type of movie I actually hate, in that it's a movie that thinks it's far more clever and cool than it really is, and it's just so pleased with itself.
I have written down here in my notes that there's a point where Bill Shatner is lecturing to his class. The body count has started of the class of the students. And he's lecturing on the nature of serial killers. And I noted that this class has the level of depth of your average chat room.
Oh, yes, I know. He's talking about that's like, what a lazy script. Like, they're talking about the serial killers, and they bring up Ed Gein and who's the other one?
Ted Bundy, wasn't it?
Ed Dahmer and Bundy. Yeah, they bring up, like, just, I mean, the ones that your mom knows. Like, the serial killers that Netflix has made a special of, basically.
Yeah, nothing insightful, nothing like, I'm like, dude, you're I realized the original American Psycho also brought up those guys, but in a far more clever way. This was just like, I'm like, do some research. Like, when you're writing a script.
The thing is about this movie was made at that time when they were making all those angsty teen like college movies as well, where it's just like Cruel Intentions or whatever, I don't know, but like, and so it's got all of that feel to it with this really like cheesy serial killer aspect just completely tacked on.
The director, Morgan J. Freeman, not that Morgan Freeman, the other one, Morgan J. Freeman, ended up directing like Dawson's Creek, I believe, the pilot and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not far off. Like,
oh, no, And that's, but to me, like, that's one of the things that I absolutely love about this movie is just that ridiculous dichotomy between the college movie and the fact that they've jammed American Psycho into it. It's absolutely ridiculous. I feel like the script was written in about 9 different, like, just completely different times, where it was just like, hey, we're gonna write 30 pages of the script now. Oh, you've got to change those 30, and we're gonna add another 20, and then we're gonna just keep doing that over 12 iterations until you actually have this movie.
Keep in mind that about 75% of all the dialogue in this movie is narration. This could have been written after the movie was filmed.
That narration's amazing. Like, that's the worst narration since Blade Runner. It is just awful. It's like, it is over. It's over exposition. Like, that's what it reminded me of was Blade Runner. Like, where it's explaining things that the audience should be entirely clear on. But it violates that. What I loved is that it violates that basic rule of narration where the story is from that person's point of view, because there's huge swaths of this that she's not present for. Like, she's narrating, and then there's like 20 minutes of, or like 10 minutes of stuff that she couldn't possibly know. I guess she's crazy.
She was surprised the black kid could draw.
I mean, the movie is just flat out ridiculous, because there's not, like, there's so much no sense made in it. Every time a character is killed, it seems like it's 2 or 3 days, maybe weeks before there's even nobody ever notices when a character is killed, and it's just like, well, someday I'll need to pull this out of my ass and use this.
I was, by about 2/3 of the way through the movie, I could not figure out the timeline. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I assume it was at the end of a semester at least.
Yeah, but at one point
she kept the body in her closet for the entirety.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be reading, like, it's supposed to be reading break that the lovely and talented Lindy Booth is going to go off with Bill Shatner, that they're going to go away for, like, it's spring break, basically, that they're supposed to be going away for a winter break, maybe. They're supposed to be going away while, like, classes have ended, and because they make a point that Mila Kunis isn't leaving. But there's, like, a point. So Mila Kunis, Rachel, kills the parking attendant, and then I thought at least a day, but maybe 2 had passed. And then we see that the parking attendant's body has been just propped up at the parking lot, waving with a knife. Because no one noticed him. Does he work a double shift and then the place is just closed? Like,
this is a movie that is completely bad because it's a terrible script. Like, it's completely that this is a horrible script and that they sat there and literally went, okay, like, we have no ideas for this. So, and nobody realized that there's anything wrong with the script. So they don't mention anything or say anything. So it's just like, everything that's wrong with this is in this horrible, horrible dimension. It's a terrible script. And the fact that nobody on the set had the experience or whatever care to say, hey, you know what? This doesn't make sense. It's not Boogaloo in a complete incompetence of everything. Because, like, the production levels are fine. You know, it's a $10 million movie, so it's fine. The acting is good. The photography is good. Cinematography is good. The lighting is good. The film score is, you know, it's fine. Like, acting is fine. Everything about it is fine, except for the horrible script and the fact that nobody said, hey, this is a horrible script. Let's not film this scene until we fix it.
I think the most B thing of the whole thing is that they clearly only had, because Mila Kunis was making that 70s show. She was kind of like at the peak of that era when she made this. And so they probably had her for a very small window. So a lot of times the killer, like, it's set up as a mystery that she's wearing a hood and maybe it's Rachel and maybe it's not.
Well, yeah, 10 minutes into the movie,
they just abandon that. And like, cause they make it, they hide her as if it's going to be a mystery or maybe there's a bait and switch. And then they just show her taking the hood off. And then later she wears the hood, but I realized that it's so that someone else could play that, could do that scene without her present.
I feel a reason
to do that.
They made it seem like the first guy that she kills, the guy, the rich kid, that's one of the guys who is, you know, in the running to be the assistant, yeah, the teaching assistant. And they made it seem like it was him who did the first kill. Like, very much they did. And for the longest time, I kept on going, now, she killed him, but did he still do the first kill?
Well, like, and
for the longest time.
That might be the most clever element to the entire script, if you think about it. Because if they had carried that on, you know, for a little bit, then that might have been really something. And maybe in the original, story, that was something. But much like everything else, they just abandoned it and have her like, well, yeah, fuck it. Let's just get her to kill somebody else.
And you say the original script title was The Girl That Wouldn't Die. So I'm not saying that has anything to do with what we're talking about. I'm just saying that that's a better title than American Psycho 2 All-American Girl.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I like All-American Girl. I think that's a good title.
I love the fact that I love it when, I mean, love it is an odd term in this case, but I enjoy when they make movies and then just suddenly do tack on something to the end, because it's just hilarious to see how badly they go wrong or how small the connection is. And in this case, you know, you've got a very small connection and they went really wrong with the movie, because like all she does is just kill everybody. There's no reason that you couldn't figure out that it's her, because at the end of it, she's the only person left alive.
But she's not alive.
yeah, that's right.
That ending.
Open and shut case.
Good Lord.
So the way things go is that they figured out it's Rachel, that they figured out someone pretending to be the student named Rachel is the one behind the murders. They're chasing her. She is able to get ahead of them for, like, she must get at least 60 to 90 seconds ahead of the pursuers. And in that time, she puts the car up on a hill, moves a body into the front seat, rigs the car to drive off of a cliff, pulls a body out of the car to lean against a guardrail, and leaves enough evidence that they're going to think that she died in the crash. So, you know, kudos. Like, that's like,
let's be honest, though. Those officers, incompetent.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, she's not up against a brain trust for sure.
No, that's one of the things that bothers me the most about this movie, is that William Shatner plays like a guy who pretty much created the, it's Robert K. Wrestler of the world, or James Douglas, John Douglas. Yeah. Like the guy who like created serial killers and studied them. And he teaches a class about them. And yet, I mean, a moron.
You know who's not a moron in this story? You know who's not a moron? The doctor. Dr. Daniels, played by another Canadian treasure, Garrett Wynne Davies. There's a lot of this movie shot in Toronto or something. Garrett Wynne Davies, who
never heard of it in Ontario.
I don't know if did Forever Night play in the U.S. Was that was it only a Canadian show? No. Forever Night was his show anyway. It was it was vampires or something, right? Before they were cool. So he plays a doctor who is so freaking good at his job, he can diagnose a sociopath in a 50-minute session.
Yeah.
That is, like, that guy, like, I mean, and you then, screw you, Bill Shatner, and your nonsense lecturing. Give me that guy.
But then the problem is, he immediately goes and proves how terrible he is at his job by phoning Bill Shatner and saying, dude, one of your students just came in and I think she's fucking crazy.
And William Shatner, the teacher, is so good at his job that he assumes the girl he's having an affair with is a psychopath. that he's in love with, that he assumes she's a psychopath because this guy is a world-class profiler. And yet, I mean, it's just like I say, this is a movie that just
works. I love that.
It's the worst script. Is it the worst script ever?
The doctor phones and he says, one of your students, he's like, I shouldn't be telling you this. One of your students, I shouldn't be telling you this, is a sociopath because I just met her. I shouldn't be telling you this. Her name rhymes with Rachel. And yeah. Bill Shatner's like, that's probably my girlfriend, Cassandra.
Oh, man. What is going on in this movie?
That's what I love about this movie, is it's just flat out ridiculous with no, like, the script makes no sense whatsoever, and it's just like everybody's just going through, like, Bill Shatner just does nothing but phone in every one of his scenes. I mean, there's this point
literally
where
does he have a scene not on the phone?
Just hanging out in class. Yeah. He finds Lindy Booth's body. He finds
So he finds Lindsay Booth's body. First thing he does is look around and sees a picture of him with her. Takes that, grabs that, and assumes that has gotten rid of all the evidence in the room that she may be in love with him.
Yeah, three people saw him in the hallway. He has scrubbed the room by removing one photo.
Yeah. Fucking horrible script.
Isla, you know, there's a feminist awards, movie awards, that gives away an award for the biggest age difference between a couple on screen. And at 48 years, this may be
a wow. new record. Oh, God. I mean, there's nothing like that's. I don't know what you could say about this movie because it may, like, it's just.
I'm laughing at it now because I hated it watching it, but now at least I can appreciate the boogaloo of the script. I just thought it was a bad script that wasn't boogaloo, but
there's a fair amount of boogaloo in this.
I
think we're pretty close to finding out exactly how much boogaloo. You ready to get into this?
All right, let's find the boogaloo out.
Yeah, in the words of the great prophet, that horse ain't dead. Okay. In our search for the ultimate B-movie, we rate each film in five categories, none of which are objective quality, and that's going to work for you, American Psycho 2. Yeah. Our first category is called Schlock Appeal, and as always, we start with Stan.
Well, if schlock is a measure of my enjoyment, I enjoy this story a fair bit. Make no doubt, it is not the schlockiest movie I've ever seen. But I consider it a fun little romp. I am going to go with a 7.
Oh, wow. I'll give it a 5 just on the basis of they had the audacity to attach this to a franchise of some sort.
Franchise of some sort.
I mean, at no point was it clear that this should have been a sequel. So, 5.
3. Like, I'm sorry, man. It's not schlocky because it's shitty. There's not the same thing.
Oh, come on! It has William Shatner in it. That at least,
but you know what?
And
I do like, there was a line. I can't remember exactly what the line was, but it was something along the lines of the doctor says something about what about your you know, you're the girl and you're in love with him, and he's like, yeah, I'm in love with him, and he's like oh, and you're gonna, you know, something along the lines of, you know, are you gonna tell your wife? And and William Shatner's response is, fuck you. And I thought that was a great line. Remember that was fun. Oh, man. This is not the best Shatner performance we will come across.
I will treasure that scene of Bill Shatner giving a locket to his to a girl that's a little young to be his granddaughter. And just that close up of his liver spotted hands attaching that around her neck. I'm going with a 5 on this as well. More heart than budget.
Well,
I think maybe the body double for Mila Kunis was into this.
I mean, afterwards, when you think about the fact that virtually everybody that was in it wishes they weren't in it.
Even Bill Shatner's like, I don't really talk about that one.
Literally, when you go to see the trivia on this film on IMDb, and you click it, the first trivia item is, and I quote, Mila Kunis is ashamed of this film. I swear that's the exact...
So, I mean, to me, that's one of the reasons, why I enjoy this movie, just because as a whole, it's a package of crap, which I think is hilarious. But that does not give it more heart than budget. 2.
It sort of does say something when you move up Santa with muscles above this on your resume.
This isn't the level she brought to Santa with Muscles, where she played a girl that we don't even know was named.
Sorry there, Stan. Did you put a number on this?
I did put a number on it. It was two.
Okay. Actually, just during this podcast, I was just thinking, you know, the thing that pissed me off of most about watching this was you guys kept calling it a movie. I don't know, a video montage of weird shit. Nobody was terribly invested in this film. I guess it's 80 minutes or so. So one.
Look, this would have been a low score. Like, I would have given it like a 4 if it had nothing to do with American Psycho. The fact that they threw that on there and it drops it down even lower when it has, like, that's no heart than budget right there. It's just trying your best to take a little bit of the name recognition of a popular film. With the, like I said, the laziest possible effort. So I'm going to end up with a 3.
Well.
Oh, it's please like, say 9.
I would love that.
I'm gonna go a direction that you would not anticipate, and I've not done this so far. We're 50 some movies that we're done now.
This is 43, I think.
43. I just keep adding another 5 every time we do. Every time we do one episode, I say there's 5 more.
Well, isn't there one that we lost?
There's a couple that are unreleased too.
Oh, that's right. There is, yeah.
Right, yeah. So if I count those two, then that's we're definitely right. Somewhere in the mid-50s.
We have that season that we'll someday finish recording that we watched movies for 6 months ago, 8 months ago now, that we will never be able to properly score. Oh, yes. Oh, boy. All right. Anyways, go ahead. What were you going to say there?
I'm going to say until you said the budget was...
10 million.
10 million. I was going to give it a couple more, but 0.
This was $10 million?
$10 million.
$10 million.
You are
William Shatner's expensive.
Yeah, yes. Right. Yes, he is.
$8.5 million for Mila Kunis. $50 for Bill Shatner.
And the rest of the director. Nothing went to the movie. That was all gratis.
I mean, they could have sold the title for...
Actually, perhaps that was where all the money went. Yeah.
Well, I know that the author of American Psycho really hates this movie. So
I can't imagine why.
Stop calling it a movie.
I'm sorry.
Wishes he had looked at that contract a little closer, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
And it says something about sequels. Yeah, don't pay attention. It's just boilerplate. All right, next category we call what the fuck moments.
Well, the first one, and obviously the biggest one, is the script, because it's the it's the Achilles heel of this picture. Yeah, I mean, the bodies thing, like the killings and the bodies, that is for me one of the great ones, just because they don't know what to do with anything after it happens. So it's like they don't try, they really reach that point pretty early on where they stop trying to explain anything until they need to explain it. It's there's like, ah, that makes my head hurt. I don't want to think about that now. Just push it off till the end. And that's basically their strategy during the script. There's two little things that I happened to note when Mila Kunis was in dealing with, it wasn't Mila Kunis. I'm already forgetting in this case, but it was when the doctor was in there searching through Bill Shatner's office, and there's a book that's called Old Rip Van Winkle, and I thought that was kind of funny given everything, and then he closes the record player for some reason, and I was just like, why are you having a shot of him closing the record player when you didn't even need to do that? But that really sums up so much of this movie. Why when you didn't need to? So there's not a, it's not a over the top what the fuck moments, but it's very what the fuck in its own right. I'm going to go with a 6.
Yeah, I think my score will depend a little bit if somebody can explain the twist ending to me.
The people that filmed it couldn't explain it to you.
Because, yeah, so it ends up that she was never the character that we were told she was. She was really an FBI agent?
No.
Attached?
Oh, wait, I can, if that's where you're at, then yes. I thought you meant on a grander level, but yes, I did understand more than that.
Yes. Because so his current teacher's assistant is the girl that she becomes at the very end.
Yeah, so, but early in the movie, she killed another girl and assumed her identity.
Yeah,
then her real life parents showed up, but that girl's real life parents apparently never mind never hearing from her.
No. Well, okay. So yeah, so she kills Rachel Newman, but obviously her actual name is also Rachel, because her parents, her real parents, know she's Rachel. But
no, because there's a point where they walk by, or maybe it's just the last name.
The doctor says Miss Newman, and her parents say, did he call her by the wrong name?
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they call her by any name, honestly.
Well, they do call, or well, who? Like, they do call her Rachel Newman.
Do they? In any case, wouldn't William Shatner know her from?
Dude, he was an idiot. You're not keeping these both obvious.
She killed Mila Kunis killed the real Rachel Newman before the semester started.
That's right.
And she was a freshman.
Right, but yes. Wouldn't William Shatner know the youngest FBI agent profile ever?
She's you still missed
he's
it.
Dead she's, by that yeah, point. Yeah.
She's
she assumes the identity later a second time of someone who is in like Quantico.
A second time.
Yeah. She assumes Elizabeth McGuire's identity at the very end.
She comes in.
I thought the twist was she was always Elizabeth.
She comes in, she kills Rachel Newman, she takes on the identity of Rachel Newman, she attends class as Rachel Newman, where Elizabeth McGuire is the teacher's assistant. At the end of the movie, she kills Elizabeth McGuire before she enters the Quantico, where she's on her way to, becomes her,
and then becomes the youngest, like, bestest, most awesomenest prosecutor or profile ever, because that's what the doctor Dr. Daniels has basically.
That point, she's Dexter.
Yes.
I apologize. That makes perfect sense.
So see, here you go.
Well, God bless you for that, because I was thinking our listeners are going to be like, did these guys watch the movie? I don't think.
this is the prequel to Dexter, really. If you just like swap sexes, then it's the real prequel.
Dexter was shitty. This would be it.
Oh, Dexter's pretty shitty by the end.
It is by the end, yeah, for sure.
Just a lot less Boogaloo than this.
Did you ever give a score there, Nick?
Yep, 3.
Okay. 3 for WTF? 3?
Yeah. On a whole, I thought there were a lot of WTFs, but they weren't good quality WTFs.
Well, I think that final WTF is amazing. We just talked about that she is, you become this. Nobody figures out, nobody, I mean, okay, what about this one? Okay.
I love the level of background check that the FBI doesn't look at. Yeah, right. And photos of the people who work for them.
Okay, I guess this is where you have to understand. Is there a difference? And this is, I think, maybe where Nick is going. There's a difference between plot holes and WTF.
I think that's fair.
And their plot holes are amazing.
Yeah.
But WTF, maybe you go a little lower.
You know, a WTF should actually interest you to the point where you have to think about it. I was willing to gloss over a lot of shit. Because it was just not interesting in this movie.
Hey, you started off by saying you liked it more than the original.
I actually hated the original, so yeah. And I actually had a fun time with this movie because, well, William Shatner was in it, and I enjoyed that. And Mila Kunis, and I mean, I love voiceovers, so the narration was awesome.
Bill Shatner in the sexy scenes with 20-year-old women is just hilarious. I'll give you that.
Here's the thing about this movie. It is proof that the old banter "we'll fix it in post" is not always possible.
Yeah.
So we're talking about WTS. How about this one? Because this is one that I liked. Okay, so they go to the first time you see her in the classroom. And you see the scene happens. Not much really happens. Then a bunch of events happen, and we find out 2 days later they're back in the classroom, and everybody's wearing the exact same clothes. Everybody. So I go back to the original one, and I'm like, is this real? Stuff written on the blackboard is the same.
That's right. I remember noticing the blackboard.
Yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, the blackboard.
And I'm just like, wow, this is a level of WTF from a lack of care that is remarkable. There's others. I don't want to talk about this movie anymore, though. 9.
that's a generous number right there. I'm going to go a bit lower, but there is that. I'm going to go back and look at that classroom thing. That's amazing. And there's like probably half an hour of screen time between those two things.
Oh, at least, yeah, half an hour of killing.
So there's a bit near the end where like it looks like Rachel's going to get caught because she's with her actual parents at a restaurant who don't know her fake name, her psychiatrist or doctor is at the same restaurant. He's there with his mom, which is a whole other thing.
Oh yeah.
And he violates her privacy by coming up to her, which, you know, should never ever
he
do
does multiple times anyways.
Yeah, like it's not like he's been, you know, the Mr. Ethics up to this point, so why not? Might as well go up and go, hey, yeah, I know your doctor, I know your daughter from therapy. But when So Mila Kunis comes over, says hi, says like, you know, like, how you doing? And the doctor's mom says, I hope that's a new girlfriend.
Yes. Oh,
like, she is 25 years younger than him and clearly a student at the college.
But as we had found out from, and none of us had talked about this, the amazing scene where she psychoanalyzes him. There's not a lot of women in this town for a guy who signal his age.
Mom has decided if she's going to get grandkids, he's going to have to marry a little younger. So 19, whatever.
You know,
a new girlfriend, I hope.
When you think about that scene and what it actually means to the movie, which is nothing, I would be really interested in what you could actually cut out of this movie to get to just the points that bring you to the end.
At the end. So, wait a second. I'm just realizing something. The car crash. The body that they found that's burned in there then is the original Rochelle Newman.
Rochelle Newman, yes.
Which is why everyone's like, it's okay, she's dead. Yeah. Wouldn't the doctor go, wait, no, she killed that other one and took her identity. Didn't he figure that? Isn't that the whole point? And then people would go, she was never the real Rochelle Newman. So the real one's really out there. Like, how bad at their job are all these cops? And every, by the way, when the cops finally do show up,
holy
shit on a stick.
I can only assume that they have done absolutely no investigation, because I mean the body's also been decomposing for the better part of a year.
Her closet.
Did the car not explode?
By the way, that I love that when her parents come. And they want to use the washroom. She's like, it's not working. That's what that smell is. Nobody else shows up in a room where her body's in it. The toilet's not working. In other words, so I just keep shitting in it, not flushing. Is that what she's saying for an entire year?
Well, and they shoot, and maybe I should increase my WTF score, because they shoot her room and Cassandra's room, and I'm not sure, that might be the same room.
They're totally the same room.
But are they supposed to be like roommates?
Because No, they're just an identical set.
But yeah, because they shoot them in exactly the same way. Just so confusing
There's no effort to make them look different at all. Yeah.
I mean, when you say that it's the same, I mean they have the same clothes hanging. Not just like the same furniture, like a stock room furniture. I mean, all the little details are the same.
Yeah, the same body hanging.
I mean, really, Rachel doesn't have the photo of Bill Shatner up. That's the only difference between the two sets.
I want you to go back and take a look. I bet you it's there.
it may be. I'm actually going to bump this up as we're talking about it. A 7.
I'm going to go 7 as well. Because, this is too good.
Modify that, no problem.
The psychiatrist never figured out she wasn't the real Rachel.
Did he?
No, I don't think he did.
She never figured it out.
Oh.
Well, if he figured it out, the entire plot goes out the window, so.
But he finds like the missing persons report about her.
Yes, he does. Yes.
Rachel's parents or Rachel's family has reported her missing, and then someone went to the house and
Mila Kunis. I thought they established Rachel was an orphan.
Yeah, but someone had reported her missing.
That's right. And then the cops came, the police came, and I'm like, no, and she's like, no, I'm right here. Oh, yeah. And meanwhile, the body's like over beside her.
I think everyone believed the cover story on that one.
That was her mother and her stepfather, or whatever. It was like a foster kid thing. She was adopted. She was not raised in an orphanage, or at least she was at some point adopted. And that's why she had those parents. By the way, I do love that the police, when they show up, the police officer that sits there and goes, yeah, we got this pissive person report. Nobody's seen this person in 5 days. We're planning to look into it soon. Ten. I'm going up to a 10.
I love the fact we're all gonna have to watch the movie again afterwards to try to make even more sense.
It makes no freaking sense at all.
I'm gonna stick with 9. I'll stick with 9, but it's a really amazing.
All right. Next category is called memorable moments.
Not so amazing.
not so much. No, it's very true, Because I know I watched this. So this movie came out, what, in like 2002, I think? And I'm betting that I originally watched it in 2003. And other than remembering that it had Mila Kunis and William Shatner, and that I got a few giggles out of it, I remembered absolutely nothing. But knowing that we were coming into a sequel season, I thought, oh man, it'd be great, because I remember the giggles. And at the end of the watching this movie again, I can now pretty much say that in another 10 years, I am going to remember that it has Mila Kunis, William Shatner, and I had a few giggles. That's about it. So I'm going to give it a point for each of those, a 3.
Yeah, actually, coming, because it's been a little while since I actually watched the film because we took a couple weeks off there, I kept having to remember, what are we podcasting on this week? And I couldn't remember this one. Yeah, no, I did that.
I literally, like an hour before we did this, said, I don't remember what the other film is, guys, besides what we're doing after this.
I never completely forgot, but it always took a process of actually having to think. This is a complete.
We tried to discourage them.
No thinking.
Not our skill set.
not our wheelhouse for sure.
So I'll give it a 2 for William Shatner. So.
Okay. There was a scene where Mila Kunis went jogging. That was kind of cool. 2.
Yeah, it's solid.
That was good.
Good. Yeah, Mila Kunis is closing this for sure. That's worth a point. I would go up a point for Bill Shatner if I had remembered Bill Shatner was in this movie, which I didn't until seeing it again. Because I had same as Stan, I'd seen it 15 years ago or whatever, and then rewatched it. I'm like, oh, Bill Shatner's in this, so I hadn't even retained that part. Just Mila Kunis is the only part that had stayed. But a little edge, because it reignited my love affair with Lindy Booth. So I'm now going to watch a whole bunch of Lindy Booth movies. So I'm going to give it a 2.
What else has Lindy Booth been in?
She's done a lot of TV. Relic Hunter. Just finished a show called Librarians.
I know she did. She was in Dawn of the Dead, the 2000 version, because both her and Kim Poirier, another Canadian actress, was in that. With her. And I think there might even be a third person in this that was in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can somebody list a credit of something I could have actually seen?
Kick-Ass 2?
You've seen Dawn of the Dead remake, the 2004.
Exactly. I don't remember it that well.
And Lindy Booth is in Detroit Rock City as girl number 1. So, hello.
Maybe not that one as your go-to, but Christmas Magic, that sounds more up your alley, Nick. Christmas Magic, a lot of Hallmark shows.
Okay.
A lot of Canadian.
I love Canadian Detroit Rock City. I'm hoping one of you will propose a season that will cause us to maybe be able to do that movie.
All right, our final category is called Crazy Concept.
Crazy Concept. Oh, God. So, well, I mean, the idea of tacking a movie, a storyline on by itself is not that crazy, because it happens all the time. The fact that they decided that their concept was going to be so thin and that they weren't even going to bother. I'm not even completely sure they had a concept for the movie going in. So,
no, that's the problem. They did. Like, this had another script, and then it was filmed as that, like I say, The Girl Who Wouldn't Die, and that script had been hanging around for a while, and some people were hot, thinking it would be a hot independent script, and like, nobody actually apparently read it. They just heard the concept, and it was what was hot at the time. Because if you read this script, you never would have thought highly of this.
Well, it would be interesting to see that script before they American Psycho did.
It must have had a really good font.
Yeah. I have no idea where to score this. I'm just going to go with a 4.
Oh, God. What concept? Sorry, what category?
Crazy concept.
Oh, crazy concept. A 3. I like the fact that they tried to tack. I mean, they could have tacked on any sequel. This could have been Winnie the Pooh sequel, and it would have been just as appropriate as American Psycho. Yeah.
That may affect the overall scoring.
This movie is so there's no question. Like, there's so many of these type of movies out there, especially in this era. There's nothing crazy about it at all. I got a 2.
Even less crazy about it than that. I give it a 1. So that brings us to the end of scoring. And each season, we have 6 secret modifiers. This film has one of them. It does get a -1 for being sequel in name only.
Because it needs a -1 after all those scores we gave it.
We need to show this. We need this one to be dragged down a little bit after some of these scores. And speaking of dragged down, American Psycho 2 then gets a grand total of 34.5 out of 100, making it the second lowest film on the Octagon. Just barely beating out Tale of the Mummy.
Wow. Actually, that's totally right.
Tale of the Mummy is terrible.
The thing is that I really enjoy this movie because it's stupid. But there's no question that from a Boogaloo perspective, it's got some Boogaloo. But it's also, when you look at it from a lot of our scores, yeah, it doesn't stack up in those cases because it's truly not like, it's not like an Ed Wood style Boogaloo. It's not like that Ninja 3 Boogaloo. It's just, wow. It's just more of a shock that anybody decided that this was a good decision to make.
Now,
but the thing about this is, and this is the interesting thing about the Octagon, people will be able to go into the We Talk Podcast website and go into the Octagon, and you'll see the score, but you'll also be able to sort by the categories. And if we sorted this by the WTF category, I bet you it's in the top third. So if that's what you love the most, which is our favorite category,
in that way,
the film doesn't fare as bad.
Now, they sell it with such audacity. I am wondering if we got really, really high and watched. Would the scores improve?
It would be interesting to watch this entirely together, entirely high. Yes.
Wait a second. Hold on. You guys weren't high when you watched it? You guys aren't high when you watch all of these? What?
Just when I watched our next film, and that was not that was not the right choice.
You guys,
you're telling me you aren't high now?
That was a contact high on the next film.
Film. Oh, let's get to the next film, and because after the next film, we also will be deciding the next season. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay, well, tell the folks where to find us on the interwebs.
All right. As mentioned, The Octagon, which is our ongoing record of our search for the ultimate B movie, you can sort them by the overall totals. You can also sort by each of the 5 categories. If you are into crazy concepts, then find the craziest conceptiest.
Good word.
That is on wetalkpodcasts.com. Also, We Talk Podcasts, who are our podcast sponsors, have a Facebook and a Twitter where you can keep track and follow them. They'll tell you when new episodes are coming up. Please subscribe on iTunes. I think we're on Google Play. We're on wherever you find your podcasts. We're also on YouTube. The episodes are a little delayed on YouTube, but they do go up there after a couple of days. And also, Instagram, Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
All right. Well, we have talked about American Psycho 2 plenty, but next up we are going to talk about Crank 2 High Voltage. So that's something right there. There's lots going on to talk about coming up. So I don't expect anybody else will have anything to add. So for Nick, for Jack, and for Jim, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadoo. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
So tell me a little about yourself.
Like what?
Like something significant that happened between the time you were born and the moment you decided to look me up.
I was only 12 years old and I wasn't going to let Patrick Bateman ruin my life.
Why don't we stop there?
American Psycho continues.
This girl has no concept of reality.
Angrier. Deadlier. And sexier than ever before.
Ribbed for her pleasure.
She was more obsessed than Dahmer. She's more calculated than Bundy. And certainly more faceless than Bateman. All in all, she killed 8 people. 8 people, which we know of.